Are you a homeschooler and a military spouse? Homeschooling can be tough and military life challenging. The Military Homeschool Podcast is the perfect tool to add to your arsenal as you navigate life as a military homeschooler. Join Crystal and her guests each week as they bring relevant information to equip you, stories to encourage you, and content to inspire you. You don't have to go it alone. Tune in to the Military Homeschool Podcast and be energized in your military homeschooling journey. You're listening to History for Christian Teens, the podcast where we examine historical people, places, and events through the lens of the Bible, drawing meaningful lessons that we can apply to our own lives as believers. This podcast is designed for middle and high school age students, but mom and dad and everyone else, you're invited to listen in too. This broadcast is brought to you by the Ultimate Homeschool Podcast Network.
Welcome back to History for Christian Teens podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Niehoff.
And I'm also your host, Crystal Niehoff. We're so happy you could join us today. Author Tessa Afshar once said, "He wiped out Jericho and he saved a harlot. What kind of God was this? He seemed at once impossibly holy and ridiculously merciful. How could you tie those two incongruities together?" Rahab.
This week, we look at the role of Rahab, a woman of ill repute played in conquering Jericho, and how God's incredible mercy helped her turn her life around and become an ancestor of kings, most notably King David and the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. So, who was Rahab?
In the book of Joshua, Rahab is referred to as a harlot three times between chapters 2-6. Rahab lived in the great fortified city of Jericho. As the people of Israel began taking possession of the promised land, Jericho stood in their way. As we learned last week, Jericho's stone walls towered high into the sky and surrounded the city. Its gates were locked up tight. No one went in or came out of the city that the guards didn't know about. In order to scope out the city to see what obstacles lay ahead, Joshua sent two spies with instructions to come back and give him a full report. To keep from being discovered, the spies took refuge in the house of Rahab. According to the Biblical Archaeological Society, the first century CE historian Josephus reports that she kept an inn. So it would appear that Rahab was also a landlady. This is likely why the spies took cover in her home.
When the king was told there were spies in the land, we read in Joshua chapter 2, verses 3 through 21, that the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, "Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them." But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone, the gate was shut.
Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death." "Our lives for your lives," the men assured her. "If you don't tell what we're doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land."
So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She said to them, "Go to the hill so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return. Then go on your way." Now the men had said to her, "This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers, and all your family into your house. If any of them go outside your house into the street, their blood will be on their own heads. We will not be responsible. But as for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear." "Agreed," she replied. "Let it be as you say." So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window.
In Joshua 6, after the walls of Jericho had fallen, Joshua told the Israelites to spare Rahab and her entire family, just as the spies had promised, and the only people of the entire city to be spared. Rahab and her family then became part of the nation of Israel, much like we're grafted into the family of God when we accept Christ as our Savior and Lord. See Romans chapter 11. When Rahab left the city of Jericho, she left behind her life of sin, giving it all up for good. Her decision changed the course of history. In return, she and her family obtained salvation, and she was given a place of honor in God's story. As Jim George phrases it in his book, 10 Minutes to Knowing the Men and Women of the Bible, quote, "Rahab is taken from the very pit of sin and idolatry and placed among the saints in the genealogy of the Savior," end quote. Rahab is a distant relative of King David and ultimately a part of the line of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. See Matthew 1 verse 5.
Evangelist Billy Graham once noted, quote, "The Bible says a great deal about entire families coming to Christ. Rahab the harlot, the Philippian jailer, and Cornelius the Roman centurion. That could be true in your family too. You may be the one who could lead your family to Christ."
Life application number one. Just like Rahab, we are to be concerned for the salvation of others. Friends, if you have unsaved loved ones in your family, or maybe this is true of your entire family, know that God may have placed you in your family to share the gospel with them. Just like God used Rahab to save her family from the destruction of Jericho, and just like God placed Joseph in the palace of Pharaoh to save his family from starvation, the Lord has called you to be an example and a witness of the salvation of Jesus Christ with others. Romans 10, verses 13 and 14 asks, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Romans 10, verses 13 and 14 asks, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" And as 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20a explains, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us."
And life application number two, even the worst of sinners can find saving grace through Jesus Christ. Yes, Rahab committed sinful acts for the sake of monetary gain, but she also saw the power of God and as a result developed a reverent fear and desire to be right with him. As it says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, "Others look on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart." The Lord saw Rahab's heart and her faith that he could save her, so he did. In fact, none of us are sinless. As we learned in the story of the Ten Commandments, the law of God shows us our sinfulness and our great need for a Savior. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 explains that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then Romans 10:9 tells us that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved.
GotQuestions.org explains that even though we're sinners, quote, "Because of Jesus' death on our behalf, all we have to do is believe in him. trusting his death as the payment for our sins, and we will be saved. Romans 10 verse 13 says it again, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Jesus died to pay the penalty for our sins and rescue us from eternal death. Salvation, the forgiveness of sins, is available to anyone who will trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. End quote. Because of Rahab's faith in God, she became an ancestor of kings. Rahab and Salmon's bloodline begat Boaz. Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse. Jesse begot David, who became a king. David's bloodline then begot Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Savior of the world.
Before we end the podcast today, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are grateful for the lives of those who have gone before us and that we can receive forgiveness from all we have done. That no matter what our past may be, you stand ready to forgive. We are also grateful to know that nothing on this earth, under the earth, or in the heavenly places can separate us from your love through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. That's it for today's episode. We hope you'll join us next week when we learn that even the strongest man who ever lived had a fatal weakness. Tune in to get the inside scoop. Remember, links to everything we've mentioned today can be found in our show notes at historyforchristianteens.com. And would you do us a quick favor? Please like and subscribe to our podcast and give us a 5-star rating if you've been blessed by this series. Got questions, comments, or prayer requests? Email us at historyforchristianteens@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening in today.
If you like this podcast, please be sure to subscribe and give us a star rating on your favorite podcast app. You can follow us on Facebook too. Links to this and all the other resources mentioned during the podcast today can be found in our show notes at historyforchristianteens.com. We hope you'll join us again next week for another thought-provoking and insightful lesson in History for Christian Teens.